Conviction, to be convinced, comes from hearing. It's the word that changes the heart. And in this year of mercy, we ask that our hearts might be open to the works of mercy. This story told by Christ about Lazarus and the rich man is unique. And if one looked at it from a merely superficial point of view, that the rich don't go to heaven and the poor do, you've missed the point. There's much more here than what meets the eye. The theme behind the gospel is what we call sins of omission. The rich man is suffering not because of what he did, but because of what he did not do. It was a sin of omission. He failed to feed the poor. He failed to practice one of the seven works of mercy. There are seven for the body, seven for the soul. And we shall be judged accordingly for what we have done and what we have failed to do. And that's why, from time immemorial, at the beginning of Mass, before the sacrifice of Christ, we all strike our breasts thrice. Through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault, for what we have done and what we have failed to do. What we lack. As I speak, I'm sure there are meetings being held in Sydney for footballers for what they lacked in last night's game. The Bulldogs held on. And the other team, I'm sure, is now doing an examination of conscience. What we should have done. What we failed to do well. If people do that for sport and for a final, that's a great final last night, why do we not do it for our soul and salvation? Examine our conscience. So often people say, oh, I don't need to go to confession, Father, I've done nothing wrong. And that might be in the 80s or 90s, and I think to myself, but what have you failed to do that you should have done? This rich man, and I think the rich man here is very much likened to a bishop, because he wears purple. This colour, back in the olden times, red and purple were colours that only wealthy people could wear, because to get the dye was rather expensive. He dressed in purple, bishops dressed in purple, he dressed in fine linen. Bishops wear fine linen, and he ate every day quite magnificently. Well, bishops tend to grow in stature and size over time. Find me a thin bishop, and I'll find you a holy bishop. Speaking of bishops, we pray at this Mass for the last Sunday for Bishop Hannah. As you know, he's leaving this week the diocese, and we won't have a bishop, so we thank him for his work, and we pray for him at this Mass and assure him of our support as he begins his retirement. His health is not as it ought to be. This man, we don't know who he is, but we do know who Lazarus is. The word Lazarus, etymologically speaking, in Hebrew is from Eliza, which means God has helped. God has helped Lazarus, not here, but there. We're reminded of the Beatitudes. The blessing comes, the reward, not in this life, but in the life to come. Now, Lazarus is in bliss. The bosom of Abraham means he's being completely sated and comforted in body, soul, and spirit. So Lazarus is receiving his reward. God has helped him. Now, the rich man is in Hades, and that causes confusion. People take Hades to mean hell. Not necessarily. When we say in the Creed that Christ descended unto hell or unto the dead, the word there is Hades or Sheol. Sheol means the underworld. It doesn't mean hell. There's another word, Gehenna. That means hell. So this man, Abraham, is suffering torment. This rich man is suffering torment and pain. He longs for heaven, he desires perfection, but can't achieve it. The damned in hell do not desire heaven. The damned in hell are isolated, self-absorbed, and are empty. They're unfulfilled, and that's the anguish they'll always have. We can't make much sense of this unless we put together the notions that the Greeks had for life and death. If you are alive, you shall die. The living will become the dead. But for the Greeks, there were four types of life, and there were four types of death. There's life of the body, biology or bios. There's life of the mind, psychos. There's life of the spirit. When you are baptized, your soul is engaged, connected, that's called Zoe, and then there's eternal life, which has its own context. We, therefore, must find four types of death. There's physical death when the body stops. There's mental death, go into certain dementia wards. You can see people biologically, they're functioning, but mentally, they've almost died. They're not with you. And, of course, there's spiritual death, mortal sin, when we disconnect from God's grace through our own choosing. That's mortal death. Then, of course, there's what we call eternal death. That's hell. Eternal death is hell. The soul, yes, the soul can die. And it's an everlasting death. Heaven is everlasting life. This rich man is not in hell. He desires heaven. He wants heaven. He's suffering. Furthermore, there's a dialogue between heaven and where he is. That means a communion of saints. There's a connected world out there that he is now partaking of. And lastly, he prays. No damned soul prays. He's praying for his brothers, that they don't go to where he is. It's a prayer of petition, an intercession. So where is he? He's not in heaven, he's not in hell. He is saved, but being purged, purified. The church calls it the state of purgatory, in preparation for his perfection in heaven. And that makes much more sense of the context and the language used. If Christ was going to refer to hell, it would have been a different scenario. That's a reminder here that this man is suffering torment because of what he did not do. And in time, through prayer and his suffering, he shall attain glory. Meanwhile, it's a wake-up call for us to examine ourselves and our consciences to see what we can do more so than what we have done. What we have failed to do, perhaps we can connect and do this week. And think about the seven works of mercy for the body and the seven for the soul. One woman who didn't do much for the body but was magnificent in her works of mercy for the soul was St. Thérèse. So feast day at the end of this week, she died, as you know, in France at the age of 24. She didn't live long. She's a doctor of the church. She wrote her autobiography. And she talks about the power of prayer, the works of mercy, works of kindness and charity, and how we can connect to other people through our generous spirit by thinking more of them and their needs than our own selfish wants. At the beginning of her novel, she reminds us of a man called Pranzini. Pranzini was a murderer who was about to be executed, and she feared for the state of his soul, because he would not be reconciled with God. The priest had gone in to see him, it's in the press, he was hardened. Always remember that any damned soul in hell is there because they choose to be there. They died in what we call unrepentant mortal sin. They refused at the last moment to partake of those actual graces. Their heart was so turned from God, they wouldn't open it. They wouldn't seek his mercy. It's not that God sends them, but they send themselves. He keeps searching, but they refuse to be found. Pranzini was one of those souls. He was about to be executed, and St. Thérèse went into hyper prayer for him, assiduously begging God that he might open his heart, that he might seek confession, that he might turn to the priest and say, yes, I want to be absolved. I want to change. I want to go to heaven. And it's getting closer and closer to his execution. And then she heard, yes, at the very last moment, Pranzini, before he was put to death, looked up at the priest standing there who had his crucifix and beckoned the crucifix to him and kissed the body of Christ on the cross. The same gesture we do on Good Friday. We come to the Saviour seeking forgiveness so that we who are sinners might enter eternal life. That was the gesture of Pranzini at the last moment of his life. And she writes in her book how much joy that gave her that he sought forgiveness. He partook of mercy before misery would engulf his soul. So she had hope for his salvation. She practiced a work of mercy. She didn't have to pray so much for his soul, but she did. Let us therefore, like her, be generous in our works of mercy and think of what we can do for others. In doing so, we too shall one day partake, like Lazarus, of life eternal. Praise be Jesus Christ. Amen.